This is Andre Tomlin from The Mental Elf. I'm here with Pookie Knight-Smith. I'm being filmed by Pookie's video camera, and I'm recording a podcast as we speak.
A lot going on.
Really odd, but hello, everyone.
Hello. And Andre's not an actual elf, which is always a bit disappointing, but, you know.
Yeah, I do get that. Oh, that's what you look like quite a lot. For those of you who don't know Pookie, Pookie is a mental health advisor and educator and speaker and vlogger and just general amazing woman who has been really inspirational to me over the years. So thank you for all the advice and support. And I really love the way you do evidence-based and really accessible. That's the thing that I think is really successful about what you've done over the last few years.
What I try and do is kind of, try and make stuff a little bit more accessible, because I kind of feel like, actually, when it comes to mental health, we can all do something, but a lot of people feel completely helpless and unable to do stuff. And sometimes the clinical best practice and the evidence base feels kind of somewhere out of reach, and I try and make it a little bit more grabbable.
Well, you do that really well.
Thank you.
So we're at IAPT Connect 19. This is a digital mental health conference organised by Maiden, and there's going to be lots of mental health providers and psychologists and digital tech people in the room. And you're doing the opening remarks, so you've got 15 minutes to kind of get everybody excited. How are you feeling about that?
Well, basically, so we're going to be in a room full of people who really know what they're talking about, and then I start. I was saying to you before, I've increasingly been asked to do these kind of, you know, opening talk type things, which I love, and it's a great honour and a privilege to be able to do it. But being able to kind of make people feel something and hopefully do something in such a short space of time is quite a challenge. So, I try and keep it, relatively simple and hopefully get people, thinking.
So listen up, if you're a clinical psychologist or a psychotherapist or a counsellor, somebody who sits down and talks to people about their mental health, these are three excellent questions that Pookie is going to ask. So the first one is, does your patient know you care?
Yeah, so I started with that because my whole thing today is the event is all about digital, and actually I'm trying to bring the kind of human side of it and actually thinking about how digital can sometimes enable us to be more human because it takes away some of the other stresses and strains of our jobs and that sort of thing. And so when I was thinking about, well, how are we more human with our patients, with our clients, the first thing I thought that was of note is everyone in the room will be here today because they care. Like, you don't come into this profession for the glory or the money or any of those things. You know, everyone I've ever worked with who's worked in this profession has done it because fundamentally they care. But our patients don't always know that. And having sat on both sides of that conversation, I have definitely, as a patient, felt, you know, I'm in a room with someone who just fundamentally doesn't give a crap about me. And that's wrong. And so it's about, well, how do you enable your patient to know that you care? And also that they know that they're worth caring about, which, again, when you're in a really dark place, can be quite difficult.
So I suppose intuitively a lot of people who work face to face think that digital doesn't help with that because it doesn't give you the kind of eye to eye kind of contact to actually communicate that. But you're saying that it helps in some way. So I'm interested. Say more about that.
So there's a whole different range of ways that kind of digital can help us. Sometimes it's simple stuff about, you know, reducing workload a bit so we spend less time kind of form crunching and more time face to face. But yeah, of course, some of the kind of digital initiatives mean that we're not face to face and we're maybe interacting virtually. But in my experience, for some people, that can lead to a better and stronger connection because it's less scary. You know, people like me, people on the autistic spectrum who bluntly find this stuff really hard, if we're talking online, actually that's much easier, and you can break down some of those barriers. And we know that, you know, for people for whom social interaction is hard, or you know, even just physically kind of getting yourself out into an appointment can be really difficult, and again digital can sometimes sort of enable that to happen. So I think it opens things up, and the mistake we can sometimes think is that digital is depersonalizing things, when if we approach it in the right way, sometimes those connections are even stronger and deeper.
Yeah, brilliant. So question number two, for people in the room and for people watching, do you know what scares your patients?
Yeah, so again, I was somewhat, you know, that whole thing I always do of drawing both on the professional experience, but also on my kind of personal experience. And I was thinking about what really would make a difference to me as a patient with someone in the room trying to create that kind of human connection. And I think quite often the things that scare us as a patient, as a client, are completely different than what the professional in the room might imagine. And sometimes they are things that might seem quite small, and it might be quite actionable for you helping me, but for me it feels completely insurmountable. But we don't know if we don't ask, and I think sometimes we make a lot of assumptions. We kind of tell someone's story for them and we think we know why they're here, and so actually just stopping and understanding, well, what does scare you, what can I help you with, I think is really, really important, and yeah, can help us to move forward. So, you know, drawing, I guess, on kind of personal experience for me, when I was engaging in therapy, the hardest bit for me was often not the stuff in the room, but my paralyzing fear of trains and just getting to the appointment. So I would arrive already completely panic-stricken and not in a great place to engage. And it was only then, you know, when that was picked apart and we're gone, right, well, let's find some different ways of doing this. So I was able to arrive in a different way and therefore slightly calmer that I could begin to actually engage with the therapy. So sometimes it's simple things.
So how do you think professionals should get that information out of the client? Do you just basically say, what scares you here? Or
yeah, I think it's about creating that kind of safe space where we feel able to openly talk without fear of judgment, but also genuinely caring and listening for that response. Because I think that sometimes we have so many things we have to do and we go straight into kind of all our form filling and our outcomes measures and stuff, when actually we've got to remember that fundamentally in front of us is a human being, and it might not take very long to make that connection and to kind of, yeah, build those bridges to, yeah, just ask the question and listen to the answer. You know, that's the key thing.
Yeah. Third and final question, which is deeply philosophical. In September 2019 in Brexit Britain, what is good here?
Yeah, so this is about looking at people who are struggling through a lens of strength rather than the lens of kind of weakness or challenge. So you may have in front of you someone who is, I don't know, self-harming or suicidal, or who's got various special needs or whatever's going on. And often they've come into you and that's what you know about them. You've got a list of things, you know, this person is, you know, currently doesn't have good living conditions. They don't have a good network around them. You know all these things about them. But what you don't know about them are their kind of, you know, what we would call their protective factors, and everybody has at least one. Everybody does. So even people in the most desperate circumstances, if you stop and you talk to them, there will be, you know, someone or something which is a little glimmer of light in their life. And if we're able to kind of flip the conversation, and instead of seeing them as their big list of problems, we see them as someone who has something going for them, then it helps us to view them differently and helps them to view themselves differently too. So, like, again, taking a personal example, I had a psychiatrist a few years ago who, after having met me for an initial diagnostic conversation, he wrote me a letter that started, Pookie has no hobbies or interests. And I don't remember what the rest of the letter said, but at the time I was in a really dark place, and that sent me into a massive spiral of, oh gosh, I'm nothing, as it might, you know. And then I flip that and compare it to the discharge letter I recently got from a very different psychiatrist who practiced in a very different way, who really encouraged my love of climbing. And in her discharge letter, you know, one of the first things that she mentioned was, you know, in the time that I've known Pookie and she's been recovering from anorexia, she's become a really, really keen climber. And she talked about how important that was to my recovery. And I don't know, that was a lens through which she viewed me, and her encouragement about that was really important. I don't know, and it yeah, helped me reframe myself a bit, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, essentially looking at strength rather than weakness. Everybody has got some strengths, whether it's, you know, one person that they really care about and rely on, whether it's an encyclopedic knowledge of snails or whatever. Everyone has something. So yeah, if we find it, we can recast our view of them.
Brilliant. Good luck with the talk. I know it's going to go down really well with the people in the room. And yeah, thanks a lot for being the first person on the podcast for iAptConnect19.